I have a question for you. How many people here are going through loss right now? Some kind of loss? Really? That amazing. Going through loss on planet Earth. You know, it does seem like a lot of people are going through a lot of things right now. But that happens all the time here on the planet. If you're on planet Earth, you will experience loss. That's just the given. We deal with it on a daily existence. Sometimes the losses that we go through are small, like losing umbrellas. I go through about 10 of them a year. You know, you put them down, you're having a bite, and you get up and you forget. Sometimes the losses are huge, like losing a family member through what we call in Unity Transition, what the planet calls death. But there truly is no such thing as death per se. We leave the body aside when we go to the other side, but we do not lose ourselves. Those left behind are the ones to grieve. Or a loss like divorce, when you thought everything was wonderful. You thought, I have a wonderful marriage. All of a sudden, the other person's not happy. How did that happen? Or losing a body part. Our dear Sally Kemp, who is now in California, lost her stomach to cancer. They attached her, this is astonishing how this happens, they attached her esophagus to her bowels. And the bowel then, with divine intelligence inside, begins to create a form of a stomach. Right now, I mean, Sally was a gourmet. Now she hates food for the time being. It doesn't taste right. It doesn't taste good. It's painful. But the doctor said that's part of the growth. That's part of the process of losing something and then regaining what you need later on. Sometimes the losses are happy ones. Like dropping the 20 pounds that you didn't want to have anyway. Woo! An ex-husband. Thank you, God. And some losses are just kind of weird, the result of unchecked ego. A few years ago, a man in North Carolina purchased a case of rare and very expensive cigars. He had them insured against, would you believe, fire. Within a month, he had smoked all the cigars and filed the claim against the insurance company. In the claim, the man stated that he had lost all the cigars in a series of small fires. 24 of them. The insurance company, of course, refused to pay, citing the obvious, the man smoked them in a normal fashion. The man sued the insurance company, and he won. In ruling for the man, the judge stated that the insurance company hadn't specified what constituted unacceptable fire. And so the company was obligated to pay the guy for his losses. The insurer paid the man $15,000 for six cigars he had smoked. Now here's where divine justice comes in. After the man cashed his check, the insurance company had him arrested on 24 counts of arson. Using his own testimony, in his insurance claim, the man was convicted of intentionally burning the rare cigars and was sentenced to 24 consecutive one-year terms. Yeah. You know, like this guy, some of the losses that we experience are the result of us not following what we know to be true. What we know in our hearts is not within divine order and harmony. Other times we feel the effects of living life on this planet with all the joys, with all the challenges that we have on a very unconscious level, but with echoes of life beyond what we're going through right now. The writer E.B. White once said that he heard about midnight one evening, he heard what he called the deep departing blast of the Queen Mary. And he said the sounds carried in him the whole history of departure and longing and loss just from that one blast. I remember when I was a kid, when I would hear an ambulance, I would feel a deep sadness within me, knowing that somebody was in crisis. And the later it got in the night, like 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning when I was young, I felt a sadness, not only for the person, but for the family and the friends. So an ambulance has always reminded me that it's a time to pray. It's a time to hold in light. When a fire truck goes by and you hear a siren, instead of getting irritated, it's your call to pray for someone to be safe, for the firefighters to be safe, and for divine order to take hold. These sounds are the echoes that we carry in our souls from years and eons of living the journey of a spiritual being having not only one human experience, but many, many, many. This is not the first time you're here for most of us. We carry echoes of other lives in our DNA, in our souls. Phobias come from that. You look at a 1 or 2 year old who's afraid of dogs or afraid of water. It has nothing to do with what's going on now because they don't have the experience of being damaged by it, but in another life, they may have died or been damaged by certain things. And so phobias come up because there's still residual fear. Mozart, by creating a composition of 3 or 4, he didn't learn that this time around. He learned it in another life. So we have these echoes of remembrance in our souls that we are here to deal with or here to celebrate. When we were simply existing as in spirit form on the other side, we were always in this wonderful flow of divine love, of joy, of peace, all the time, until we came here. I've been asked on countless occasions, now if that is true, how come I can't remember it? Well, let me ask you this. Can you remember what you had for dinner October 4th, 1999? What did you wear on July 9th this year? What did you have for lunch on Thursday? What were you doing the evening of November 12th, 2003? Unless it was your birthday, you probably don't remember. Can you remember every single lovemaking episode with your first girlfriend or boyfriend? Do not answer me. Just think about that. Unless he or she made that big of an impression on you, I don't think so. I know people who can't remember long periods of their lives. I have a family member who cannot remember anything from before age 12. He said, I was here. I know because I see pictures, but I can't recall a thing. I don't recall anything. What do you remember about being 10 or 11 years old? You remember your teacher. You remember your home. You might remember a Christmas. But everything's like a snapshot. You maybe remember a handful of things that happened that year. Does that mean you didn't have a childhood? Does that mean you didn't eat on Thursday? Does that mean you weren't here on November 12, 2003? No, you just don't remember it. You just don't recall it. You weren't conscious of having it, yet you were here. When we left the other side of life to come here to do our journey, to do our lessons here, we purposely forgot what life was like over there so we could focus on doing what our goal was here. We know we were over there. We have memories. We have echoes of a wonderful, joyful life as one with God. But as I mentioned last week, time is an illusion. Time is an illusion. And it speeds up, it slows down, it stands still, or it completely disappears depending on where you are at any given moment, depending on our awareness and our consciousness. So to a student who failed to be promoted, what's 1 year? To a mom who gave birth prematurely, what's 1 month? To a minister who creates a talk every single Sunday, what's a week? Sunday to Sunday comes so fast. If you've ever waited for a mate to return from a long trip and the plane is delayed, what's 1 hour? If you have a loved one or a friend who is in Afghanistan or Iraq, that's a long time. If you go to the Hamptons for a weekend and you got to Penn Station too late, what's 1 minute? You didn't drive on a green light immediately because you were fiddling with the radio and somebody else from the other side runs a red light. What's a few seconds? To the 100-meter Olympic swimmer, what's 1 millisecond? The difference between first and second place. Again, loss is a big part of the lesson that we're here to deal with on planet Earth. How we deal with the loss is really what it's all about. This is what makes the difference. Loss may call for a time of grieving, of cocooning, of going within to take care of your wounds. Time of healing, time of adjusting, a time of growth. But we will always, always come out of it stronger and more aware of who we are as a spiritual being if we depend on the power of God within during the time of transition. First of all, we have to acknowledge that a loss occurred. There's an old New Thought metaphysical unity way of trying to ignore that it actually happened, trying to get too spiritual too fast. There used to be a pamphlet written by Billy Freeman, James Dilla Freeman's wife. It said, dry your tears. Forget grieving. Grieving is unhealthy, it's unspiritual. Wrong. They pulled that thing a couple of decades ago because they know that wasn't the truth. To ignore or try to affirm away what we're going through is delaying the healing. We're here to deal with it immediately, to authentically process what we're going through. A minister once compiled some responses of his congregation to the losses that they had in their lives. So the things he overheard, he started writing down. He said once a 60-year-old widow during the funeral, a friend came up to her and said, don't worry, you're young and attractive. You'll find someone else. During the funeral. To a woman whose 25-year-old son was killed by a drunk driver, somebody said to her, at least you have four other. To a man whose elderly mother passed away, she said, oh, well, 89 after all. And to a young boy's mother grieving his transition, somebody said, I understand what you're going through because I lost my dog. Now, I lost my dog and I really grieved it, but to compare somebody's child to a dog is... Sometimes it isn't callousness, it's just ignorance of knowing what to say at the moment, and what comes out can be pretty lame or pretty ridiculous. And sometimes we even do that in unity as well. Too metaphysical when something else is required at the moment. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people in unity say after the loss of a friend or a loved one, remember, nothing is lost in spirit. Well, you know, that's true, but it's not helpful at that very moment. It's true that we are eternal spiritual beings, and if you've lost somebody's physical presence, there's a real pain going on. We're not here to deny that. It has to be honored. So don't get too metaphysical too quick. Let somebody cry, let somebody lean on your shoulders, just sit there with them and be. We call it ministry of presence, just being with somebody. The lessons later will come as they're ready, but it is not up to you to get metaphysical and tell them what Charles Fillmore said about their moment. Even in ourselves, we too often pretend that the grieving or the healing isn't needed. We go there too quickly, like, oh, no, everything's fine. Everything's in perfect divine order. God is good. My loss is good. They're in a better place. I name you good, blah, 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 blah. It's ridiculous. Save that for later. You have to process the loss that you're going through. Be with it and let the healing take hold now. There's no avoiding that the loss is going on, and right now it sucks. Right now it's really terrible. But with the love of people, the love of God at work in you, the healing is unfolding. challenge that we run into in life when we can't seem to move beyond the loss is another issue. If you've been grieving 5, 6, 7, 10, 20 years, there's something more going on that has little to do with what actually happened, but your reaction to what is missing or what has not been resolved in life. And of course, each one of us goes through loss in a very different way. Carlos, when he lost his partner, Johnny, he said 3 full years to feel his joy again. And he said, never again will I ever counsel somebody to get over it or to move on because they've been grieving for over a year. Grieving is a healing process that will take as long as it takes. Now, if you're going on 5, 10, 15, 20 years, as I said, there may be something going on, some guilt or something that you're holding on to that really isn't about grieving, but something completely different. And it's time to go to therapy or to get spiritual counseling to be able to release all that. To continue looking back on what was doesn't allow us to move forward with the good that we have, knowing that the person is still alive in spirit, always with us. But we need to move forward since we're here to do the life that we were called to have. In Scripture, we see that when Lot's wife turned around to see Sodom and Gomorrah burning, she looked back and she turned into a pillar of salt. Metaphorically, the story means that we're not to linger at what does not work for us anymore. Grieve what you had and move forward, or you'll become inert. You'll just be stuck in your life, going in circles or not going anywhere at all. We get stuck sometimes, like Lot's wife, in a job that's going nowhere. You're holding on to it because, well, it's insurance, or because it gives me money every week, but it's not really what you came to New York to do, is it? Or a relationship that's unloving or unsatisfying, well, at least it's a person there. As Yenta said, a bad husband, God forbid, is better than no husband, God forbid. That's not quite the attitude we want to take with relationships. Or we stay with a diet that's unhealthy. You say, I just can't change. It's the way I am. I'll always do this. Or an apartment that's way too small for you and you know it, but you're just not willing to move forward to find what is yours and what is more nourishing to your soul. Or being in a friendship that's all one-sided. You know what those are like. We've all had them. That keeps us from having a fulfilling, wonderful relationship. You know, we think, well, I'm not really completely happy with them, but it's all that I have right now. That's not living, that's settling. We're not here to settle. Children of God, do not settle for less than the best. You are not here to settle, right? You're here to embrace your life fully. Jesus did not say, ask for what you want, and if you really believe it, it can happen. Well, maybe you're not. Let me think about that one. Well, no, I can't guarantee it. No. Ask for what you want, and it might happen. Maybe. You know, a lot of people don't get what they want in life. Who do you think you are asking for a better job, more health, a loving partner, peace of mind, please? Okay, the good job I think I might get God to do for you, yet the rest of it, I'm not quite sure. You will not ever read that anywhere in Scripture. Jesus didn't say anything but ask for what you want, believing and what? Receive. There's no small print about how you can't have it. About, well, you know, everybody is wonderful except for you. We know who you are. And we know why you don't deserve the good. That is not part of God's plan. Your plan is for the fullness of God's good to pour forth. We think that with the loss we had, some way it must be God holding it back. Because that can be the only answer, right? No, it's because I have a belief that I don't deserve it. That somehow God has heard my prayers, and yet God says, I don't think so. You really haven't deserved it, or, you know, it's not the right time. The economy is really terrible. Who do you think you are? Or there aren't enough people in New York. Have you looked around? You've been to Match.com for 4 years. What do you think? No. There's no end to God's good, only in our thinking, in our belief system. God is calling us to deepen our commitment to having a happy life, to having a wonderful, loving, peaceful, creative, time here on the planet. And if we aren't, it means that we're pushing it away somehow. We do that by accepting or not accepting the good is available for me. Everybody else I can pray for. I was talking with a chaplain. I can pray for everybody else, but for me, I just can't seem to do it. I can pray with you and know that God is at work in you fully, but for me, I'm not quite there. There's an ebb and flow to life. Some of the things come into our lives for a long time, and other things come for a short time. But you're not being punished if they're only there for a little while. It means that they're for a while because you then got the lesson, you got what you needed out of it, and we move on. But the truth is, God is always here. Spirit is always here. Love, peace, joy, abundance, power is always right here, right now. The appearance of it may look different this year, next year, and the year after that. Sometimes it feels like it isn't here. Sometimes it appears missing. But whatever you need, whatever you desire in life is always going to be here in you, in your heart, within your very soul. Not always in the form that we would like it to be yet, but that's unfolding. That's coming forth. The good that you want is here right now. It's up to you to step forward, to declare it, to get excited about it, to have faith and know that Spirit's at work, that God is really doing it. Now, your mom's warm touch, your childhood dog, your vacation, your childhood home, or even your vacation home on the Jersey Shore may not be on the planet anymore. That may have come and gone in a material form. But the love that is your mom, your dog, that the house represents, will always be a part of who you are. You will never lose that. The manifestation of it will take different forms at different times. I want you to close your eyes for a moment, and I want you to breathe into your heart. I want you to picture somebody who's no longer physically in your life, whether through passing to the other side, or maybe they moved away and you haven't seen them for decades. I want you to picture them, and I want you to see them as a God gift, as a wonderful representation of who and what God is. I want you to think of a moment that you had together that was absolutely perfect, wonderful, joyful, holy. This moment that you're picturing is a wonderful gift of love that they gave you that you will always have as part of you forever. You will never lose this moment, this understanding, whether they're not on the planet anymore or just moved away. They are always with you. This is the truth of your being. And this is a gift you gave them as they have moved on in their lives. The connection that you have will always be eternal. You will never lose the love of this person. Let that fill you up with light, with love, with joy, with peace. And know that there is no loss that can happen between you and this wonderful child of God. Breathe in and open your eyes. That's just a very small example of how Spirit works within us. That you can never lose the love of God in any way, shape, or form. As human beings with limited ego sense, we will feel the pain of loss and separation of that which represents the good in your life. We have to acknowledge the pain of not having mom or dad on the planet anymore. That's just something we have to go through. We have to feel the loss that is deep and intense and feels like it will never end, and sometimes it feels like you can't even breathe through it. We have to acknowledge and allow others to comfort us and to be with us, to be the healing presence with us, to pray and meditate, to feel the awareness of God upholding and lifting us up, even when it feels like God isn't here. As spiritual beings, when we go within to where God is, we will know that this process of living on planet Earth is a learning process. This is the process that you have chosen to go through, to come here, to go through this, to remember your power. Earth is not your permanent home. This is a field trip. It may feel like a long field trip, but it's a field trip that you took from the other side to remember your power. Because if you can get that here in these bodies and on this planet that does not seem to have God at all anywhere in it, if you can remember your oneness here, you can remember it anywhere in the universe. That's your job right now, to see beyond what you're going through, to say, God is here. God, I don't feel it right now. Let me feel it. I know and affirm that you and I are one, and that my good is here forever. You're here to remember your oneness with God and each other, with your family, your loved ones, your friends, your pet, all the people that you love, you are one with forever. You just got that when you closed your eyes and felt that. There's no separation. There never will be separation between you and love. You can never lose anyone permanently. Never. When Mary went to the tomb to take care of Jesus' body, she discovered the body was gone. She started weeping, crying. She was crying so hard she couldn't see. Someone behind her said, "Why are you crying?" She said, "They've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they put him." The man behind her said, "Mary, hello? Me?" She turned around, she wiped her eyes. She said, "Oh, you, Jesus, oh my God, Jesus, you're here." That's what our Christ within is saying. Mary, snap out of it. Get over it. I'm here. What are you crying for? Move on. You've got the good right now. Here's your good. Here's your power. Acknowledge it. Accept it. God within us is telling us whatever we've been going through, whatever we've gone through, it's time to move on to completely accept our good. Were you dumped? Ow. Ow. That doesn't feel good. But that just means a better man or woman is coming into your life. Or maybe a better dog. It's okay not to want to be in a relationship. We get that, right? Okay. You get it. Of everybody here. You got that. It's okay that you're whole and complete with friends or pets or whatever way of expressing that you are. But if you want somebody, be grateful that this person is gone. Yay. Thank you, God. Were you fired? Yay. Woohoo! Yay. Oh, my God. That means a better job is waiting for you. Something better is coming for you, but you have to be open and receptive to it. Yeah, take an hour, take a day and grieve. Yeah, I thought I liked this job, or I really didn't like it, but I really like the money, or I really like the benefits. Okay, that's no reason to keep in a job that you really don't like. Are you broke again? Oh, when, God, how long will this go on? God is calling you to accept your good and to say, being broke is a temporary condition. I'm not poor. There's more money coming. Thank you, God. Change your thinking and change your negative words. Quit using the same old words around money and watch your money begin to come more and more powerfully. God is so ready to move your life into more good, more joy, more abundance if we will agree with God and use the words that will then attract them. Breathe into your heart. Close your eyes. Go within. I want to share this poem, and I want these words to be your words. To laugh is to risk appearing the fool. To weep is to risk appearing sentimental. To reach for another is to risk involvement. To expose your feelings is to risk exposing your true self. To live is to risk dying. But risk must be taken, because the greatest hazard in life is to risk nothing. The person who risks nothing, does nothing, has nothing, is nothing. You may avoid suffering and sorrow, but you cannot learn, feel, change, grow, love, live. Chained by their attitudes, they are slaves. They have forfeited their freedoms. Only a person who will risk is free. Breathe that in. There is no risk in God. Jesus said, tell that mountain to move, to jump in the sea, and it has to. It has to obey a child of God. In God, there is no risk that you will fail. Breathe that in. Let that take hold this morning. With God, a mountain is a small pile of dirt. An anthill, it's nothing. With God, $1 million is $1. We're the ones who would ascribe something to it. Whatever you desire, you can have. A diagnosis of cancer is like a paper cut. In God's mind, there is no difference of healing. Breathe that in and let it take hold. There is no possibility of failure in God. There is no possibility of failure in God. Affirm that with me. There is no possibility of failure with God. There is nothing impossible for me when I know God is at work in me. Breathe that in. I invite you to let go and let Spirit reveal this truth. Let God in your heart reveal there's nothing you can risk that is dangerous. Give yourself over. Let me do the work. Begin that process by singing, I am so blessed for all that I have, all that I am, and all that God is. Breathe in, let go. Peace be still.
Of our brother who said, wipe your tears and see the truth. God is here. God is at work. Feel the pain, feel the grief, feel the fear, and move forth. Go through the process of healing. And open your eyes to the truth. There is nothing missing in God. There is no true loss or risk when we let go and let God do the work. If you're feeling any pain, anything going on in the body temple, I invite you to breathe light and love and power into that place. Let the wholeness of God take place in this body temple, in your mind, as we affirm, I am healed and whole in the love of God. I am healed and whole in the love of God. You're having a challenged relationship, bring that person into your heart. See them as God does, loving, peaceful, filled with light and love. joy in all good. Remember the reason why you were in relationship with them to begin with. The love of God heals this relationship now. The love of God heals this relationship now. Success, abundance, being in the creative flow of life is why we're here, without making it the object of our existence. As our brother said, God knows what your needs are. It's up to us to get clarity about that as well. So we affirm the overflowing abundant good of God is at work in my life, in my career, in everything. Breathe that in. You shall tell that mountain, that seeming block or obstacle, through the power of God within me, I tell you, move. Now let it go. And know that truly there is no obstacle. There is no obstacle in God. It's a mound of dirt. It's nothing. Nothing is too hard for your Creator. My life works perfectly. Breathe that in. My life works perfectly. And in the silence, we let God reveal that. Hold that truth very lightly. My life works perfectly. Since there really and truly is no time in God, one brief moment contains the fullness of God. Everything that we need is revealed right now. There is only one power, one presence at work, God the good. And so it is.